And again, my name is Jeff Jackson. I'm a teaching minister at Grace Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I've been on staff here for 30 years. My main emphasis in ministry is teaching pastors and educating people in the Word of God. Right now, I'm not only conducting school classes at our church here in Tulsa, but I also am getting prepared to leave again for China. I've been there 7 times in the last 2 years, and going back to train pastors. We give them a big study Bible, something like an ESV type study Bible, all in Chinese, with all the margins and notes at the bottom and cross referencing, and then I spend about 10 to 12 hours of instruction with these pastors. Most ministers are not allowed to preach in China, but God has opened this door for me, and we can do this because they consider this technical training instead of me preaching. So God has blessed me in that way, and again, I'll be leaving here in just about 3 weeks. We're going to continue our study on Caleb this morning. We've been talking about conquering giants. And Assad likes to begin the week with these encouraging words. He enjoys having each one of you contact and call in and maybe get some of your friends to call in, because it's a good thing for us to get our eyes on the things of God as we approach the week that's coming to us. We've been talking about Caleb, and Joshua came into the land, and the first thing that they did is they devoted the city of Jericho to God. And it's always good for us to devote the first things to God. The Lord told Israel to give up their firstborn. The firstborn was to be dedicated to God. We give the first part of our increase in the tithe to our church. It's just the beginning of what God has blessed us with. And if you don't have a church, you really need to find a church and be a part of a local church. Going to even be talking about that today. And so we take this time to set it aside to concentrate on the promise of God and the blessing of God in our life so that we can set our path on the right course. Now, I've been teaching for the last 2 weeks and today, and then I'll be speaking one more time next Monday. We've been looking at a subject I'm calling Conquering Giants and some points out of the life of Caleb. We talked about in the first week his sincere faith, that God made a promise and Caleb said, if that's what God said, that's what we're going to do. Difficulties, of course, but God was on our side. You know, each one of us faces situations where we believe that God has given us direction. Other people may try to talk us out. Other people may oppose. In fact, they may even become angry with us, as they did with Joshua and Caleb, because of our faith. But God has made promises, and we hold fast to those promises, and that's where the reality is. Joshua didn't, and Caleb, they didn't say, well, after God has conquered the land and gotten all the problems off, then we'll do this. You know, each one of you are facing things in your life. Might be personal in your life. It might be related to your business. It might be your family. It might be in some situations of your own faith and trying to come to some new places in the Lord. And you just have to trust God. You believe the promise that he has said, and you find those promises in the scripture. Again, that's a good reason for us to have a local church where we're hearing the teaching of the word, where we're receiving instruction from God. It's a reason we read our Bibles and study our Bibles and give attention to those things. It's a reason that you call into this program on Mondays to get these encouraging words. And Assad is always giving you his email address. You probably have a phone number that you can reach him. And man, anytime you need some encouragement, need some help, need some direction, need to hear a promise, because there are so many people who want to talk us out of what we believe that God has called us to do, what we believe that the Lord has set before us. And that's what we're seeing in Joshua's life. Then last week we talked about his pursuit. For 40 years he had to wander in the wilderness with everyone else till that generation died. And what did he keep his mind on? The promise. Now, I would have been thinking about all the people that I'd like to get rid of. And the sooner these people die, the sooner we can go into the land. Maybe I could help God out with that. No, I don't think that's true. But man, how hard is it to keep concentrating on a promise of God when it doesn't seem to be coming? But he did. And for 40 years and then 5 years of the conquest, he kept his faith in the right place. His pursuit was the promise that God had made to him. And when he got there, he decided what he wanted. He wanted the Hill of the Giants. And we talked about that, how he came before Joshua and he said, this is the land God made this promise. This is the land I want. And this is where I want to take my stand. This is what kept everyone else out. And this is what I want to show my trust, my faith in God and receive the full promise that he's given me. He didn't choose some quiet land. He didn't choose a quiet little valley or some desert area where no one was. No, he said, I want the Hill of the Giants. And as we're going to find out today as we look at his victory, there were four walled cities of giants. He took them all. That's a victory. So I'm calling my message today, Caleb's Sure Victory. And let's start in Joshua chapter 14. So if you've got a Bible or electronic device there, go to your scriptures, Joshua chapter 14, verses 13 and 15. Caleb's come before Joshua. He said, what portion of the land do you want? And he said, I want the Hill of the Giants. And this is why. And he said, I am strong today. I was. God kept me this way for 45 years. And now I want that hill. And if God is with me, I'll take it. Again, Caleb's trust was not in his own strength, but in the strength that God had given and the promise God made. He said, I can't do this without God. But in God, I'm going to do it. Joshua blessed him. That's the verse that we're looking at, verse 13. Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Joshua blessed him. That means he pronounced this over him. It wasn't just a distribution of the land. Joshua blessed him in doing this. Blessing in the Old Testament is a very intricate procedure. It's highly held. It's not just saying, hey, okay, that's all right. Yeah, you can have it. That's what you want. Sure. No, blessing has all manner of spiritual implications behind it. To bless is to confer upon someone the strength, the peace that you have. When we are blessed of God, we receive from him everything that he wants us to have. That's what the word bless means in the Old Testament. Actually, it means to bow down before. It means to fall before. And many times when they blessed someone in the Old Testament, they would bow before them, even prostrate themselves on the ground sometimes. And Joshua said, Caleb, that's what you want? Yes, I'll do this. So we see these two aged. They're both 80 plus years old, 85, Caleb says. Joshua's probably same time. Battle tested for 5 years. They fought this campaign to overcome the land. 31 walled cities Joshua took and the kings. They're faithful to God, trusted warriors, standing together shoulder to shoulder. Here they stand. Now, I can't begin to imagine the thankfulness and the honor with which Joshua looked at this soldier friend. He blessed him. He didn't just give him the land. He blessed him. But I think there was a certain rejoicing in Caleb's heart as he did this. Maybe even his voice cracked. Maybe even a tear in his eye. This was his friend. They had fought shoulder to shoulder. They had witnessed so much. They'd lost so much. Many of their friends, people that they came out of Egypt with, maybe some of their own family. They didn't want to go in, and they all perished in the wilderness. Even Moses perished in the wilderness because he had violated a command of God, and God said, they will go in, but you will not. Joshua led the people in. Moses realized that was God's purpose in his life. And he accepted that. So here they stand. Yeah. You want that land? Go. Take it. Claim it. Enjoy the spoils of your struggle. You fought for this. You fought all the opposition, all the people. Can you imagine 40 years of people saying, it's your fault? No, it's your own fault. Joshua and Caleb didn't bring this curse upon the people. They brought it upon themselves. And about 1 million people perished in the wilderness. And their children were going to go in. And maybe now some of the children are even saying, you know what, but you didn't agree with my parents. And I don't know what was going on in their hearts. There had been several rebellions in the wilderness. People tried to take leadership away from Moses. But Caleb stood there. And I think Joshua must have said, go, rest in the blessing of your sovereign God and my blessing. You see, Joshua knew that this is what God had promised. God just promised to him, he would take him into the land, he would give him that portion. But Caleb chose the area he wanted. Like I said again last week, he didn't choose some quiet valley. He didn't choose some deserted place. He didn't say, I just want, you know, one of these cities that you've already conquered and all the people are gone. I just want to rest. I'm 85 years old. I'm done. No. He took the strongest place that was still standing. That's amazing. Now, this is Jeff's imagination, but I could kind of see Joshua saying, you know, and by the way, if you need me, no, you won't need me. Just go. Go take your land. I mean, even Joshua came to realize, man, you are so confident and you are so gifted and you are so skilled and God is behind this and I stand with him. Do you have a friend like that? Do you have someone like that who will stand with you and pronounce the promises of God into your life and agree with you on the promises of God that are in your life? Do you have someone like that? Who's got confidence not only in the promise of God, but in your ability to take this? I got some. I've got several people who I know would pronounce blessings over me, who agree with me on the reality of the promise instead of the pessimism of unbelief. Someone who will bless me as I walk into hell to do battle. Do you have someone who go with you into hell? I do. I can name them. Pastor Dominic Russo, you know him. Most of you know Dominic. I've told I don't know how many people, says if I was ever going into hell, the first thing I'd do is call Dominic to ask him to pray over me. And then I might even ask him to go with me. And I have every confidence he would. Dominic Joseph, his son, is that same quality, that same character. Don't tell him he can't. And he won't tell you you can't. I love that family. I love that confidence. Love that aggressiveness. Oh, someone you know. Assad. From the first time I met Assad, I could feel that in him. And when we were on the Amazon River together, What a man of faith. What a leader you have to speak these words over you and confidence. Man, we need friends like this. My pastor and colleague, Bob Yandian, his son, who's now pastoring our church, Rob Yandian. Oh, and I've got my wife. My wife would speak grace over me. She can't go with me to China, but she misses me. She wishes I didn't have to go 10, 12 days sometimes at a time. That's a long way away. I got very sick over there a couple times. I've been detained by the bureaucratic leaders. But she'd go with me. And if she can't go, she's praying with me. She's pronouncing blessings. Do you have people like that? You need them. Every Caleb needs a Joshua. Every Joshua needs a Caleb. As I was thinking about this, I came to a scripture I think we need to consider as we're talking about Caleb going in to pursue this victory. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 says, Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Now, some of your Bibles might say faith, but the Greek word is hope. Because hope is something that's out there. Faith is how you get from where you are to your faith. Think of hope as a bridge to an island, to something. Faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. Don't give up the confession of your hope. Faith is how you confess your hope. I believe God made a promise. The hope was the promised land. Caleb's faith is what got him there. He trusted. He believed the promise. He kept coming back to the promise. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast. Hold it strong. Grab a hold of it. The confession. Say what your hope is. That's what the Greek word confess means. To say the same thing. To say together. Say your hope. Get your friends to say your hope with you. That's what I was saying. Pastor Dominic and Dominic Joseph and Assad. Pastor Rob, my wife. They'll say the promise of God to me, with me. And then it says, without wavering. The word waver is kind of interesting because it's a Greek word which means to go to sleep, to lay down. And don't lay down. We lay down, why? Because we're tired. It's the root for our word recline, clino. And it means to lay down. A recliner is where you kind of lay back. No, don't lay back on your faith. Hold it fast. Speak it. And then he goes on, for he who promised is faithful. See, it's not about me. It's about the God that made the promise. He promised. He's faithful. Now, am I going to be faithful to his promise? That's what I'm working on. But I know one thing. He is faithful. Do you know that's the most common way that God refers to himself in the Bible? If you do a search through the scriptures, holy is the number one way that men speak about God. God is holy. He's altogether different. Oh, and God talks about himself as being holy too, but we're amazed at his holiness, that he's different. He's altogether different is what the word holy means. Exclusive. God is holy. But the most common way God refers to himself is I'm faithful. That's what makes him holy. Being separate, being distinct, being not like anything else. God is faithful. Nothing else is faithful. Nothing, no one. People make us promise after promise after promise. The world makes us promises. Our government makes us promises. Our money makes us a promise, but it doesn't do what it promises to do. God's faithful. He's altogether different. He's not like anything else. And then he goes on and he says, and let us consider how to stir up one another. There's a great word. Not only are we to hold fast our confession of hope because God is faithful, we're also to consider how to stir up one another. The word stir up is a Greek word which means to irritate. There's no other way around it. The word means to irritate. It means, in a sense, it means to poke in the side. Irritate one another to love and good works. Now, this is not irritating people to anger. It's irritating people to love and good works. Remember we talked about Caleb's faith and how it indicted the faithlessness of the people? They got angry at Caleb because he trusted in God. He believed God. They wanted to stone Caleb and Joshua because of their faith in the promise of God. You know what? Your faith sometimes irritates other people. And here's my word, let them be irritated. Good, be irritated. until you make a change. Stir up one another. Irritate one another to love and good works. Don't irritate them to wrath. I mean, no, unfortunately, I'm pretty good at that with my wife. I know how to push buttons. You know, you got people that you know how to push their buttons. And man, but don't irritate one another to wrath or to anger, or irritate one another to love and good works. You know, you need to be speaking words of encouragement. I hope I'm irritating some of you. Irritating you to wake up to the promise. To stop laying down on your faith. To pick up the confession. Say what your promise is. You say, I don't even know a promise. Find one. Get in the scriptures. If you need to, write to Assad. He'll give you some answers. Call him. You can write to me. Get a hold of a promise. But here's the next part of this. Stir up one another to love and good works. Listen to what he says next. Not neglecting to meet together. Oh, there is the issue. We need to be around other people of faith. Because I need to encourage other people, and I need them to encourage me. I did a whole series on encouragement, and it'll be up on my teaching series on my website here within a couple weeks. I did a whole class. I think it's 13, 14 lessons, about 14 lessons on the subject of encouragement. I've written some of those things on my blog, and you could go back in the blog of my jeffjacksonministries.com and read those notes. But I then turn that into a teaching. Encouragement is an important thing, and we can't be encouraged by other people if we're not around other people. Stop not going to church. Stop not being around other believers. I love to worship, but you know what? Sometimes I might not feel like worship. But when I listen to other people around me worshiping, I get pulled in. We need the meeting of other people, not neglecting to meet together as a habit of some, but encouraging one another. This is how you take the victory. Keeping your eyes upon the promise. I need other people to help me keep my eyes on the promise, but encouraging one another. I was just listening this morning. I love to listen to worship. That's about the only kind of music I listen to anymore. And I was listening to a song this morning called Oceans, Where My Feet May Fail by Hillsong United. It's from their Zion album. Oceans, Where Feet May Fail. Listen to the chorus in this. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. You know, when I enter into worship, whether I'm just doing it in my office or in the car, whether I'm in the church services together, it stirs up my faith. I'm being encouraged by the words of others. Let's go back to Joshua. We need that encouragement. So here's what happened. Going back to Joshua chapter 14. Look at verse 14. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. Now, he just sums it up there. Hebron became the inheritance. He gave it to him, and he went to take it. And the last part of verse 14 says, now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. That's the giants. The land had rest from war. Now we've got to go to Joshua 15. Would you turn there? Joshua chapter 15 and verse 13 to get the rest of the story of his conquest. Listen to this. According to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, he gave Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, a portion among the people of Judah, Kiriath Arba. That is, Hebron. Arba was the father of Anak. Joshua 15, verses 13, and then verse 14. And Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak. So he gave him the city, the father's city, and then he gave him the other three cities, the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, four walled cities by three sons and the father, all of them giants. Caleb took them all. He took the whole hill country, the place no one else wanted to go. Why? Because he had the promise of God. He had a Joshua standing by his side who would encourage him. You want to walk into hell? I'm with you. Oh, you want to go on your own? Then my prayers are with you and my blessing is upon you. You can do it. Man, that's what we need. The victory comes to us. A sure victory comes because of our faith, because of our trust in God. Now that's going to be it for today, and I'm going to continue with my final lesson. Next week, we're going to talk about Caleb's legacy. What did this leave? What does this kind of faith leave for those who follow after you? I trust you've been blessed by this today. I know there's so much more we could get into, but our time is up. I hope you've been listening and being encouraged by these messages. Several of you have asked me for the notes, and if you write to me, gwjacks50@gmail.com. That's gwjacks50@gmail. I'll send you an invitation to the Dropbox, and there are the notes. I update the notes each week. I've got the first two lessons in there, and within the next couple days, I'll have this MP3 loaded in there, and you can download those. There's other teaching series on my website. That's Jeff, G-E-O-F, JacksonMinistries.com, G-E-O-F, JacksonMinistries.com. Check it out. There's all kinds of things there to bless you. I just want to pray now before we end this time together, that if there's any of you that have called in today and maybe you've never been saved, you don't know what it means to be saved, born again. You've never accepted Christ as your Savior, but you want to today. And maybe a friend had you call in, or you've been calling in for a period of time, and today is the day you want to make that decision. You see, the promise of God isn't just about things in this life, it's about eternity. And you can have eternal life through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He paid the price for you, that you might have life everlasting. And if you've never been born again, would you open your heart right now, and as I pray, just receive that, confess it with your mouth, say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead. Just say that. Confess that to the Lord, and he will recreate you in his image and likeness. He will wash away all your sins. He will restore your life and bring you into an everlasting hope. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this time today. I thank you, first of all, for those today who may be receiving you as Savior. Father, as they confess that you are their God, that you sent your Son to die for us on a cross, that through his death, burial, and resurrection, we have life everlasting, forgiveness of sins, and the restoration of things that have been taken. I thank you, Father God, that you will bring to them that peace and assurance of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And Father, for my other brothers and sisters that are listening today, I thank you, Lord God, for touching their life with your grace, for ministering to them, encouraging them through these words. Help them find a church if they don't have a church. Father, lead them to a place where they can have someone who will speak these words of encouragement into their life. And I give you praise, Father God, for the work that you're doing. Thank you, Father, that through your promise, we can conquer giants. And we thank you for these things, Father, in Jesus' name. If you need some help, Assad is always willing to help. You can reach him at Assad. That's AADPFC.com. Assad, AADPFC.com. And he'll be happy to, PFS, I'm sorry, I keep saying C, PFS. Assad, PFS at AOL.com. And the Lord bless you. You have a great week, And talk to you again next Monday.